Worship team, this doesn't happen overnight. They've been in here weeks after the service, hours practicing, and we appreciate under the direction of Kim King and the support crew back there at the AV team, Matt and Les and Jim and John helping us out. We're very grateful for all the servants of the Lord that have put their gifts and their talents together to enable us to worship. Now, perhaps if this wasn't your cup of tea this morning, come back next week. We have different cups of tea that we serve each week, and you will find the blessing of the Lord in it. Amen? Amen. We're going to read the scripture together, but before we do that, we're going to dismiss the fourth and fifth graders, those who would like to participate in the Christmas program. They can go out with Miss Brenda. Now, if you weren't here earlier and you didn't hear, but you'd like to check it out, go on back with Miss Brenda and find out what's going on and if you want to be a part of it. Okay, let's bless our fourth and fifth graders as they go out. Amen. Thank you. We have regular children's church for the rest of them. And let's bless them. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad we have some elders and workers to keep me straight here. Amen. Amen. So we're going to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is the third time and the last installment in this section for verses 1 through 12. Let's read the scripture out of reverence and respect for the Lord. Let's begin together. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? He's holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And you may be seated, and I'll ask Mike Windsor to come and pray over the word this morning.
Father God, we just come before you, and we thank you so much for you being here in our midst, Lord. We thank you that you are here with us and that we can rejoice in that through every activity of this service, that it is in some way, shape, or form worshiping you. So, Father, we pray over Pastor, and we pray over this word that he has just shown us, Lord. We ask that you would allow us to be reflective, understanding what your word is saying. Allow us to have open eyes to see and open hearts to hear, Lord, that you bring a word from our pastor. I ask that you would take away the things of Pastor Tom and put forth only the things of you, Lord, that we will be amazed by what it is that we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. We ask that you go before your servant. In his name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rob. If you haven't turned in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please do so already. And in the bulletin as well is an outline that will go along with the sermon and the PowerPoint, and I hope you'll find that helpful. So we've been in 2 Thessalonians. We've been parked at this chapter for several weeks, looking at what God is trying to explain to us in this passage. And there's a lot of things to consider and discuss, and that's why I've turned it into a series rather than try to accomplish it in one sermon. And I know some of you are saying, well, I didn't realize that. It seemed like you were doing that anyway, Pastor. But I am actually turning into a series that we can try to bite it off in chunks. So turn there with me as we talk about evil that deceives. There is someone that is trying to deceive you. Let me say it again. There is someone that is trying to deceive you and me. We often go through life and we think, well, maybe there's not too much happening. But the reality of it is, there is someone that is trying to deceive you and deceive me. How do we know that? Well, as you read through just the New Testament, there's at least a half dozen warnings to us to not be deceived. We read in the Gospel, it's recorded in every Gospel, and you can read it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, any of the Synoptic Gospels, but in Luke chapter 21, verse 8, Jesus says this, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them." This really corresponds very directly with what we're reading here in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, does it not? Jesus says, many are going to come in my name claiming, I am he. I am the one. I am Jesus, or I am his mouthpiece. And his coming is near. And I'll give you the date. And we've heard that a lot in the past couple of years, have we not? Do not follow them, says Jesus. There are other warnings, though, as well. There are other warnings throughout the Scripture. Another one comes from Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says this about not being deceived. He says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. Do not be deceived, my brother, my sister. God will not be mocked. A man or a woman will receive what they have sowed. They will reap what they have sowed. He goes on to say, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap to the flesh. In other words, if we sow in sinfulness, we will reap sinfulness. We will reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we will receive a yield from the Spirit. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. And yet, how often do we live our lives as if God is not watching, as if God does not hear, as if God does not see? I know I do. Sometimes I forget that I'm this puny little ant man, and I stand before this holy, magnificent, infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent God. And I act as if I'm the center of the universe. And I act as if his eyes cannot see. Another one, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Paul again writes, do not be deceived. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? The wicked meaning those who practice wickedness, who practice sin. And yet, how often do we hear people say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But they live like the devil. How often have we excused ourselves when we have practiced sin? When we have said, Lord, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so that warning is not only for unbelievers, that warning is for us. Are we deceived ourselves? Do we think that somehow we can say something with our head and yet live another way out of our life and think that we're okay? Jesus spoke to that directly, did he not, in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Do not think that all who say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. No, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven." You can talk the talk all day long, and Jesus is not really too interested. He's really not too interested in your talk. What he wants to know about is your walk. He says a bad tree cannot produce good fruit, and a good tree will not produce bad fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. Jesus wants to know, what kind of fruit do you and I have in our lives? Is it good fruit or is it rotten fruit? And then another one. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. "For the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." In later times, there will be those who say, "Oh yes, I believe in the Lord. I follow Jesus." And yet, they will abandon the faith. They will forsake the faith. And they will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And we are seeing that all across the boards in churches today. Churches that say, "I know God's Word says that certain things are wrong and certain things are prohibited. Certain things are condemned. And yet I will declare that it's okay to do them. I have the authority to change God's Word." And you see, they think that they're following their own thoughts. And they don't realize that they have a demon that has sunk his claws into the back of that person's head, and that person is being influenced and controlled and deceived by a deceiving spirit. And they're following things taught by demons. You, my brother and sister, and I must be sure that we are not deceived, because there is an evil all around us that is at work trying to deceive you and me. Our beloved brother, Dr. Charles Stanley, said this: "The best way in the world to deceive believers is to cloak a message in religious language and declare that it conveys some new wonderful insight from God." Cloak a message in with the religious jargon of the day. Put the bells and the whistles on it. Put the little hot buttons on it. Cloak it with the religious language. Make it sound like it's from God, and then claim that God has given you a new insight. Oh, and Christians buy things wholesale. It wasn't too long ago that there was a certain man who held a so-called revival, and there was supposed signs and wonders that were coming out of that ministry, and everybody was flocking to him. And then it come to find out this man was committing heinous sin, adulterous affairs, all kinds of evil, and yet people were flocking to him. Why? Because they weren't examining the fruit in his life. They were just listening to the wonderful message and looking at the supposed works that were happening. But did you know something? Not all miraculous signs and wonders are from God. Did you know that? Just because a person has miraculous signs and wonders going on, that does not mean it's from God. That is not the test, my brother and my sister, that a person or a ministry is of God because they have miraculous signs and wonders. How do we know that? Because right here in this passage, it says, "The coming of the lawless one, this man of sin, will be displayed in all kinds of counterfeit signs and wonders." And you and I are not to be deceived by this evil work of Satan. We have to test all things. Hold on to the good. All things need to be tested. You see, this is exactly what the enemy has done. There is an evil one who is trying to deceive you and me. And this is exactly what he's done. He's cloaked a new religious message in the garments of the day, and Christians flock to it. How is it possible? You say, "Pastor, that just can't be so. Well, how is it possible that this pastor down in Florida, who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus himself, how is it possible that he has 20,000 members in his church? How is that possible? It's because we as Christians use such little discernment about the things of God. Because we don't know the Word of God, and therefore when we see the popular things happening, oh, signs and wonders, wonderful music, you know, you can have the dog and pony show and you can gather people in. But that's not necessarily God's church. You can bring lots of people together. You can have wonderful music. You can pay to have the greatest musicians come in and gather people together. But that's not necessarily God's church. God's church is made up of the faithful ones who serve God not only in their talk, but in their walk. And there is an evil one trying to deceive you and me. And so, as we connect back with chapter 2, especially verses 5 through 12, we see that this coming lawless one, this man of sin, is going to be displayed with all kinds of counterfeit signs and wonders. And we are not to be deceived by this evil work of Satan. Paul's message to them in that day, and we see it clearly in verse 3, he says, "Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day," referring to the day of the Lord when Christ will return and he will gather his loved ones to himself, his believers, his followers, he says, "That day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction." And his concern then was that somebody was giving a report, a false letter, saying it was from Paul, or it was from Silas, or it was from Timothy, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Jesus has already turned. And guess what, brother? You've missed it. Ah, but you know what? God's given me some secret knowledge. And if you follow me, man, I'm going to show you the way to God. All you have to do is follow me. See, because I'm a prophet. I'm the servant of the Lord. And if you'll just follow me. Oh, and by the way, bring your wallet. Bring your wallet, because this secret message, this secret knowledge that I have for you, it's going to cost you a little bit. We take lots of offerings. See, I have to have my limo and my personal jet to fly around the country because I'm in such demand. You see, you and I have to have this secret message, this secret knowledge from him, because, oh, by the way, Jesus has already come. Or, by the way, Jesus is coming next year and here's the date, and so you have to follow me. You sell everything and get ready for the day. And when you sell everything, please make a big fat donation to my ministry. God needs your money. We've got to have ministry money. And so there is this work at hand. As it was then, it's today. The evil one is trying to deceive. Now, while the first part is important, and we all want to know who is this man of sin, and how is it that he's going to be revealed, that's important. And we'll get to that. But the second part of my main point is equally important, that we are not to be deceived by the evil work of Satan. We are not to be deceived. Over and over again, we are told, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by the evil one. Here's another scripture where we're told not to be deceived. Ephesians 5, 5 through 6. "For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ and of God." We are not to be deceived by the evil work of Satan, thinking that we can talk the talk and yet not walk the walk. And why is it that it is only, mainly in this country and in this culture, that this problem exists? Why? Because we have it soft. We have it soft in this country and in this culture. You see, in so many other countries, to proclaim yourself to be a Christian, you're risking your life. You're taking your life in your hands. If you call yourself a Christian, you might be killed for it. At least be arrested and put in jail in many countries. And you're always at the risk of being attacked and threatened. But it's only in this country that, c'est la vie, comme ci, comme ça, whatever will be, will be. I can say I'm a Christian and it doesn't matter much. Live the way I want to live. Why is it that values in terms of behavior Christians versus non-Christians, there's virtually no difference. That's not Tom's opinion on it. Surveys have been shown over the last 3 decades that Christians' behaviors and values are really very, very little different, you know, than the world around us. Why is that? Because we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. We have somehow compartmentalized Jesus in our minds. You see, we have Jesus in this little corner up here in our head. And you see, whenever we need the God talk, oh, we can pull it out, and boy, we can talk the talk. We can do pretty good with the Christianese, can't we? Oh, yes, brother. Oh, yes, sister. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. You see, we can say those things, you know? And Jesus, He has a wonderful plan for your life. All you need to do is come and put your faith in Jesus, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. You see, we have this little idol of Jesus in our brain up here. But He never makes it from there down to our heart. And so we live in a compartmentalized way. We live differently than what we say we believe. And Paul's saying, brother and sister, when we do that, we are deceived. We are deceiving ourselves, and we're allowing the enemy to deceive us. As I just read in Ephesians 5, Paul is saying that, you know, you can say that you're a Christian, but if you are living and you are practicing immorality, my brother, my sister, you are deceived. Because God's seed remains in you, John tells us in 1 John chapter 3. God's seed remains in you, and you cannot continue to sin. Meaning you cannot continue to practice to sin. We all fail. But there's a difference between failing and practicing. Practicing sin is this. Saying, God, I know this is wrong, and I know you call me to not do this or to do this, but I'm not going to do it. That's the difference between practice and failure. Failure is, God, I know this is wrong, and I have failed again. Please forgive me. I repent. I turn away from this. I don't want to do this. Help me, enable me, strengthen me by the power of the Holy Spirit to not do this anymore. That's the difference. You see the difference in the attitude? The attitude of practicing, it says, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And if you have that attitude, if you have that practice in your life, God's Word says you are deceived. You can talk the talk. You can pull out your baptismal certificate. You can pull out your church membership certificate. You can pull out your 4 spiritual laws track where you signed on the back of it. And Jesus says, I never knew you, because only those who do the will, obey the will of my Father in heaven, come into my kingdom. You can call yourself a Christian, but Jesus wants to know, how are you walking? Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Let me come back then here to the text and look for a few minutes at some of the details here. Number one, this man of lawlessness that we've been talking about, this man of lawlessness, is going to be revealed in counterfeit signs and wonders to try to prove that he is God. He's going to try and prove that he is God. Why? Because verses 3 and 4, Paul says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Watch this. Y'all still with me? Say amen. He says he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, why are these signs and wonders, miracles, why are they there? And at the first, you don't necessarily know that they're counterfeit until you look deeper, until you check it and test it. Why? Because he's trying to verify, he's trying to prove his claim that he is God. That's what was said about Jesus, right? He said to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that did not believe in him, that were constantly challenging him, he said, look, if you don't believe me on my own claim, he said, look at my works. Look at the works that I have done in my Father's name. Look at the works that my Father has given me to do and see that I am who I claim to be. His works verified his claim. And similarly, this man of sin, this man of lawlessness, is going to proclaim himself to be God. Well, anyone can proclaim themselves to be God, right? I mean, you know, you can be psychotic and say, hey, I'm God. And your neighbor next to you would say, well, I'm the devil. Let's have at it. You know, anybody can claim that. But in order to verify, to try to prove your claim, what are you going to do? You're going to do miraculous works and signs and wonders. And the Word tells us that there are going to be counterfeit. How do you know that they're counterfeit? Because the signs and wonders are being done not in accordance with God's Word. This man is proclaiming himself to be God. He is exalting himself above the one true God, and he's claiming himself to be God. And so therefore he has these counterfeit signs and wonders. Now, it's the opposite of God and the opposite of Word, of the Word that we have in front of us. And it says he will oppose and exalt himself. You can't do these things with mere words. You have to back it up with signs and wonders. And those signs and wonders, the reason that there's a counterfeit is because there's a real. There can't be a counterfeit without the real. And so there are real signs and wonders. Please don't misunderstand me in thinking that I'm saying that all signs and wonders are false and counterfeit. No. There has to be the real if there's going to be the counterfeit. And then again in verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, it says that the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Wow. That's scary, isn't it? That's scary. These counterfeit signs and wonders will deceive those who are perishing. Why? The second part of verse 10b, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They want to believe whatever their ears are being itched with. Instead of what God has already proclaimed in His Word, He has said, this is the truth. This is my authorized Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how do you know if something's counterfeit? It's because if the message and the fruit is opposite of what God's Word says, it's counterfeit. Oh, well, you know, maybe they're off a little bit, but, you know, boy, these signs and wonders, you know, they're really something. See, we have this tendency, and did not Jesus say that in his day? You know, he said the people that were coming, flocking around him. I find it very interesting. Churches today, you know, we try to get more and more people in the doors, sometimes through popular means. You know, not necessarily biblical means, but popular means. And Jesus did just the opposite. Jesus was always trying to thin out the crowd. He says to them, oh, y'all are here today, and you're not here because you want to hear my words. He says, you're here for the free food. Y'all like the bagels and cream cheese and coffee and donuts, don't you? That's why you're here today. He says, you guys are not coming to hear my words. You're following me because of the signs and wonders. Oh, but no more signs and wonders will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. He tells that to the religious teachers who come to test him. He says, for as Jonah was in the well of the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and three nights. No more signs and wonders. And they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. It's happening all the time. It's happening all around us. And this, my brothers and sisters, this is why we strive to teach you the Word of God here. This is why I urge you, and the leaders of the ministries here, we urge you to read the Word and study the Word. Not only study it and know it, but obey it and surrender your life to the Lord so that you can obey His Word and allow His Spirit to transform you in your life, to give you that desire so that you do obey. This is why we preach and teach the gospel of Christ, because it is the only way of salvation. For no other name is given under heaven by which we must be saved. He is the only name. He is the only way. And so we challenge you, we urge you, week after week after week after week, read the Word, live the Word, study the Word, and yet, for the most part, Christians do not read God's Word. I don't have time. Click. On goes the TV. I don't have time. Facebook. I don't have time. Oh, man, look at that pass. Football. Oh, Pastor, you're stepping on toes. Whatever it is, our excuses are pathetic. And God is, He's entering into a time of judgment. I'm telling you, it's coming, my brothers and sisters. We're entering into a time of judgment, and judgment will begin with the house of God. Judgment is coming, and God is going to thresh out the wheat and the tares. It's coming. And James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. There it is again. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What does he say? Say it again. Do what it says. You see, we deceive ourselves even in that. We read the word. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Bless God. That is so rich. That is so good. It says to love my brother and love my sister. Do not curse with my tongue. Cursing and blessing should not come out of my tongue. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Woman, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? I mean, we walk away just like he says in James. We walk away just like we're looking at a reflection in the mirror and we forget. Oh, it can be the other way around too. Man, what's wrong with you? That's all you women shaking your head. It's happening all the time. Deception is happening all the time, and we are not aware of it. We are not aware of it because we are not spiritually in tune. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 27. Dave Kofeld is going to read that for us.
Anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man.
And so this scripture connects back then with the first concern that Paul has here in 2 Thessalonians 2. First, his concern was that the believers there not be led astray, thinking that, you know, there were those teaching that the Lord had already come, and they'd missed it. But it's expanded. The principle is expanded to think that, you know, there are those then and today that give you the date. Oh, here's when the Lord is coming back. And again, we went through this at length. You know, they do this because they want influence. They want to be known as a prophet. They want control. And they use manipulation. And so for us, two millennia later, we are told again and again, do not be deceived by false Christs. Do not be deceived by false prophets, fakes, counterfeit signs and wonders. Don't be deceived by them. And the way that we fend off being deceived is to know the real, to know the truth. There was an Asian boy, and he went to a wise old master to learn about the gemstone jade. As you know, in Asia, the gemstone jade is very precious and very valuable, and this young boy wanted to go and learn about this gemstone jade. And so he went to the old master, and as he sat down with the master took a beautiful gemstone jade, and he put it in the boy's hand. And he let the boy hold it, and for about the next hour, he talked with that boy about his life. He shared the wisdom of his life, how he had grown up and the hardships he'd gone through and how he had to persevere and what he had learned from his parents. And then when he went on his own, what he learned about the world and what he learned about God. And when the hour was up, he asked for the gemstone back, the jade, and sent the boy off. Well, this went on for several weeks in a row. And after several weeks, the boy was getting a little discouraged. Because every time he would come and the master would put that jade stone in his hand and then he would tell him about his life and stories, all the different stories of the things he'd gone through. And he was a very old man, so he had lots of stories to tell. And so he was determined, he was going to ask the master that day why he was not teaching him about this valuable jade and all the intricacies and the complexities of jade. But when he got there that day, and he put out his hand to receive that gemstone jade, the master put another stone in his hand, and his immediate instinct was to say, "That's not jade. That's not genuine jade." And the master looked at him. He said, "I've taught you about true jade, and I've taught you about true life." How did he do it? By putting the genuine in his hand. And the moment the counterfeit was in his hand, he knew it was fake. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters. If you will read the truth, if you will have the real in your hand and in your heart and in your mind, if you will love His Word, as David said, the psalmist, "Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You." If I will have the real in my life and in my heart, then when the fake comes, I will see it immediately. You've heard the illustration of how they train tellers and those who work in the bank about cash. They have them like this. They have the real in their hands constantly. And so when a forgery, a fake bill comes, they immediately feel it. Not only can they spot it, but they feel it. Because we know the paper that our money is printed on is different than regular paper. Of course, the paper it's printed on these days is about as worth just about that much. That's another sermon. Number two, the secret power of lawlessness is already at work to deceive many. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work to deceive many. Before this man of lawlessness, this man of sin, is going to be revealed, we understand that the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Now, this word secret, sometimes we think of a secret, you know, in a particular context, and the biblical word here is different than that. It's the word mysterion. We get the word mystery from that. And biblically, a mystery is something that is revealed. It has to be revealed because it's anything that cannot be understood naturally. It's like the gospel. The gospel, Paul calls, the gospel is a mystery. And we could not know the gospel unless it is revealed to us. And we did not know the plan of the ages unless God had revealed it. It said angels had longed to look into God's plan, and it has been revealed to you and to me. The mystery of the gospel, that Christ was crucified and dead and buried and raised for you and me. And so a mystery is that which cannot be understood or comprehended naturally. It must be revealed. And so, we would not understand this secret power, this mystery of lawlessness. We would not understand apart from God's Word. We would just kind of think, you know, as many ancient peoples did, oh, the God of Thunder is upset with us. I guess we'll have to make an offering to the God of Thunder. Or the God of the Sea is upset with us, so I guess we have to make an offering to that. And they had a God for every little thing because it was not revealed to them what the truth was. They did not understand when calamity happened, when evil happened, when we give into temptation. They did not understand that there is a personal evil being behind this. His name is Satan. He's the accuser. And he is constantly working evil. And so, the secret power of lawlessness or sin is the work of Satan, and it's been revealed in God's Word. And we, you and I, watch this, We are not to be deceived by it. Verse 10, we are not to be deceived as many are who are perishing. We're not to be deceived by it. It's in God's Word. It's clear to you and me, and we are not to be deceived by it. In other words, you and I have to take care. We have to be on guard in our lives. What do I mean by that? You and I have to guard what comes into our heart, our mind, and our spirit. I was talking with some young people the other day, and they were telling me about some of the things that they were watching and letting come into their mind and their heart. You have to be very, very careful what you let come into your mind and your spirit. You have to think of your spirit, as the Word says, it's a holy habitation, a place where the Holy Spirit resides in us. And so you have to be careful, because you can contaminate that place with all kinds of stuff in this world. And don't you know, there's lots of stuff here just itching to come in. There's all kind. I mean, isn't it funny that every new movie that comes out, I mean, in 5 seconds, they show you, like, the best parts of the movie, and you're like, oh, man, I want to see that. You know? And you show the action scenes. Oh, man, I want to see that. You know? And they don't tell you all the trash and the garbage that's in the rest of the, you know, two-hour movie. Now, I'm not against movies. There's certain movies that I like, but I'm very careful what I watch. I'm very careful what I read. Why? I don't want that stuff to come in, because, you see, garbage in, what? Garbage out. You fill your mind with carnality and sensuality, you will be desensitized to it. Oh, Pastor, I don't listen to the words. I just listen to the music. I've heard that one. And why is it then that if we put a song on here, we could pick, you know, some popular song today, almost everybody, you know, in that younger generation could probably sing all the words of that song right now. Baby, 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 oh. I don't even know who sings that. Who sings that silly song? Is it Justin Bieber? I don't listen to the words, Pastor. So why can you sing every one of them from memory at a given moment? Garbage in, garbage out. Uncleanness in, uncleanness out. Deception in, deception out. That secret power of lawlessness is already at work. It's trying to deceive you and me. Yes, there's a deception that's coming, and it's going to be among unbelievers, those that are refusing to love the truth. But it's for you and for me. The Scripture is full of warning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. You really need to listen to this. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. For the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The gospel is veiled. Their minds are veiled and their eyes are blinded to the truth of Christ. They cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And yet, why do some of us continually pray for our friends and our loved ones who are unbelievers? We pray like this. Oh God, please help them. Oh God, just, may they become believers in Christ. Why are you praying that way? Pray specifically. God, get a hold of their lives and remove the blinders from their eyes. Lord, rescue them from the deception that the evil one has on their minds. Do you see it? We pray, not according to Scripture, but we pray what we think is popular. We pray what we think maybe even comes out of our heart. And there's nothing wrong with the heart of emotion and love and desire. But brothers and sisters, it's about praying according to the truth. So unbelievers, you need to pray that God removes their blinders from their eyes, opens their minds to see the truth of Christ, because it's by revelation. It's not by, coming to Sunday school class and reading a book, and then somehow you get it. No. We talk about the light coming on. Well, that's the light of Christ shining in on us. It's revelation. And so, for believers, Christ calls us not to be deceived as well. And we get back then to what Paul warns us in. He says, be careful we don't get sucked into the system of the world and of our culture. Ephesians 5, 8 through 16, and we're going to end here today. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 16, Matt Dawson will read that.
For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil.
Amen. I know we've gone long in the service. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and pray in an attitude and a heart of prayer. This is the most important part of the service. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would take the truth of your word and apply it to the hearts of those that you have spoken to this morning, to the point of response and surrender and recommitment. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I've said I've known Jesus, but I've been living a deceived life. I say I know Jesus, but I've been practicing sin. I have been living in wickedness. I have not been following Jesus in my walk. I've talked the talk, but not walked the walk. If that's you today, I believe the Lord is calling you to surrender. And so I'm going to ask you to do something very bold this morning. If that's you, if God has been speaking to you, if God is convicting you and He's calling you to repentance and surrender as an act of repentance, I'm going to ask before the Lord, before each other, this body, that you stand right where you are out of repentance and you say, Lord, I commit myself to follow you according to your truth and according to your word. I submit and surrender my life to you. If that's you, I want you to stand right where you are. And then if you're here today and you've heard the Lord's word today and you have not yet committed your life to Christ, maybe you have been seeking Him and you've been coming to a place where you have been trying to decide whether you think that this Jesus stuff is real, whether you think it's worth of your time, worthy of your time and your commitment, and you've heard God call you today, I want to ask you as well, my brother or my sister, I'm going to ask you as an act of commitment to Christ to stand right where you are. If you've never done that, and you need to surrender your life to Christ, I ask that you stand right where you are. And as an act of commitment, we're going to pray and then sing that beautiful song together, I Surrender All. But let's pray together first. I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me as we commit ourselves to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and being so patient with me. Thank you for opening my eyes and my mind so that I could understand the truth of the gospel and of Christ. I surrender my life to you. I recommit my life to you and to the truth. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I ask you to show me where I have been deceived, and I turn away from it and commit myself to follow you as my Lord. Fill me with your Spirit so that I have discernment and strength to overcome. And I thank you in Jesus' name. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Let's sing it again to the Lord. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. If you want prayer, I'm going to open the altar, and as we sing that one last time, if you want prayer, if you want us to agree with you in prayer, if you have a need, I invite you to come as we sing that in closing. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And now, Lord, be with us. May your grace and mercy, may your strength hold us up during this week. May we walk close to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Keep us. Keep us from falling, as your word says you can, and we will overcome by the truth, by the blood of the Lamb, and the testimony of our word, Lord. Thank you and bless each one. May we walk close with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want prayer, come on forward.